Well, welcome everybody to Downtown Harbor Church. If it is your first time here, my name is John, lead pastor. Appreciate you guys coming to check us on out this morning. So today we're kicking off our new series that we're calling No Big Deal. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at three sins that we all commit, but we make excuses for them. And we say, well, everybody does it, right? It is what it is. It's no big deal. Here's the thing. It is a big deal, all right? These sins, they impact our lives and they impact the lives of those around us. And so each week, we're going to take a look at one particular sin. We're going to find out what God's word has to say about that sin. And then we're going to find some healing in that area. So today, what I want to do to kick off this series is I want to talk to you about lying. By a show of hands, if you would. And if you don't raise your hands, we know you're a liar. Would you be so honest as to raise your hand if you have ever lied? Go ahead, put them on up. Wow. Well, a couple of goody two-shoes here. So lying is a part of the human experience. It's not something that we're taught to do. We just innately know how to do this. And if you have little kids, you know that to be the case. So this week I was trying to think about some examples of lies that I hear regularly. Ones that we just tell, and we honestly don't really think much about. It's like the no big deal kind of a thing is what it is. Like, for example, when we say to our friends, I'm almost there. No, you're not. you're nowhere close. I just left. You did not. I know for certain. How about this old chestnut? It must have gone into the spam folder. Really? Like, all my other emails made it through, but this time-sensitive one didn't? Mm-hmm. Here's a great one. My phone's been acting weird. No, it hasn't. Your phone's fine. I mean, unless you got an Android, and if you do, we're praying for you. Now, right, green text, you're on the list. So here's a classic, and you often hear this one after a couple glasses of wine. We should hang out. We're never hanging out. It's never going to happen. Now, here's one that I tell personally. This is like an issue for me. No worries either way when I'm actually worrying about both ways plus a secret third way. And lastly, one question that doctors ask that makes liars of us all. How often do you drink alcohol? All of a sudden, we're just like Mormons in that waiting room. Never. What's that? So let's be honest about our dishonesty. We're all a bunch of liars. Everybody does it. Now, some forms of lying are almost acceptable, right? We just accept it. The truth is, lying is never acceptable to God. In fact, in Proverbs 12, we learn this, that the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. And in the ancient Hebrew, this word detest actually means something closer to nauseates. Lying nauseates God. It actually makes him want to throw up. And so we're down here, you know, telling folks, oh, I didn't see your text message. Meanwhile, God's up in heaven, you know, puking into a corner. Right? It's work. I like what Paul says about the topic. He says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. In other words, now that you're a Christian, and I know many of you here are, it's time to stop acting like the world and your old ways, right? And it's time to start acting like Christ. So he says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Meaning, part of our new identity in Christ is that we are to be truthful people. We should just be speaking nothing but the truth. That's why Jesus says that as Christians, we don't really need to swear on anything. Like when you go to court and you go, you know, swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but. Jesus is like, you don't really need to do that if you're a Christian. It's not necessary. He would say just a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't should suffice. It's all you need. You don't need to swear on anything because our character and integrity as Christians should carry enough weight to confirm our words. And yet, even as Christians, we lie. I heard a great quote one time, old-timey pastor, don't really know who said it. He goes, you're never more like the devil than when you're telling lies. And that stings a little bit, but it's kind of true. And I think Jesus would actually agree with this observation. One day, Jesus is describing Satan, and I love the colorful language that Jesus uses here. Of Satan, he says, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I love that right there. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And perhaps one of the reasons that God hates lying so much is because his spiritual enemy and ours lives and breathes lies. And he uses lies to put us into bondage and to try to take us away from God's truth. So what I want to do today with the remainder of our time is I want to show you three types of lies we all tell. I want to talk about why we lie, right? What's the sort of motivation behind that? And then I want to wrap up by showing you how we can begin to find freedom and healing from our lies. So, what kind of lies do we tell? The first type of lie we often tell is we lie to other people, okay? Great prophet Jeremiah, Old Testament, made a very discouraging observation about humanity. He says, everyone lies to his friend and no one speaks the truth. So I was looking at some statistics on lying this week, and I found that women, hey ladies, buckle up, women on average lie 3 times a day, okay? That means, and I asked Alexa to confirm this, that means that ladies lie over 1,000 times a year. But men, never wanting to be outdone, lie twice as much. Now, in our defense, ladies, sometimes, you know, you really do set us up to fail, especially when you ask your husband questions like, well, does this dress make me, you know, look good on me? What do you want us to say? So I got a friend, she's here, and she's a great dresser, and I asked if I could tell this story. And the style of dress that she normally wears is very much on trend, very much in fashion. They do make her kind of look like a fundamentalist Mormon on the Oregon Trail, but it's a nice look. It works for her. So one day, she walks out of her bedroom. This is like 3 weeks ago when I heard this story. And she asks her husband, my good friend, hey, how does this new dress look on me? A parent at school bought it for me for Faculty Appreciation Week. And he replied, I wish they hadn't. She actually wore it today, so you might spot it in the crowd. Needless to say, that wasn't well received, okay? But we lie to other people all the time to protect their feelings, to make people feel better, and to get out of meetings. And we lie, and most of the times, for no good reason at all. Second way we lie is we lie to God. There's an interesting story in the book of Acts. The church is brand new. Okay, Jesus has now ascended into heaven. The disciples are now running the show, so the church is in its infancy. And these early Christians decided that they're gonna sell everything they have, and they're going to use those, that sort of the proceeds, to give to those in need. It's a wonderful idea. But it says there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount, and with his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Now, here's the thing. Nobody was forcing anybody to sell their stuff. Okay, this was not mandatory. You didn't have to do this to be a Christian, to be a part of your local church. Okay, it was not mandatory. Furthermore, Ananias and Sapphira could have given part of their proceeds, kept the rest, and it would have been a very generous offering. But they lied. And they told everyone that they had given everything. So Peter gets wind of this, and he says, "What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." Now, I don't know if you know this story, but when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who had heard what happened. I bet it did, right? And it sent a clear message that God will not allow his church to be built on lies. So what does this mean for us today? It means if you lie, you die. No, I'm kidding. Don't take a picture of this, because I know some of you like to do it. Okay, just making that up. All right. No, what this shows us really is that when we get into a habit of lying or misrepresenting the truth about ourselves or our life and what we got going on to other fellow believers, you're not just lying to them. You're also lying to God. Right? And that's not the only thing we do. A lot of us, I think, we lie to God. We try to pull a fast one on him. We do. We put a spin on our behaviors and try to trick him into thinking what we're doing is okay when it's not, and we know it's not. So we lie to others. We lie to God. And the last kind of lie, in my opinion, is the one that really does the most damage of all. We lie to ourselves. And that's when the darkness really gets dark. In Psalm 119, King David is praying to the Lord, and he says, "Help me to understand the meaning of your commandments. and I'm going to meditate on your wonderful deeds. And then he prays this. He says, Lord, keep me from lying to myself. See, David was smart enough to know that he lies to himself. And we all do it. But the problem is a lot of us just don't realize how deceived we actually are. And it reminds me of something the great theologian George Costanza once said. It's not a lie if you believe it. And if we tell a lie long enough, we actually start to believe it. And what's worse, we start to live it. And the repercussions of this is that we actually begin to blind ourselves to the truth. We can't see what's right out there in front of us. Everybody else can. We can't. For example, friends or family, they come to you and they go, hey, listen, we love you, care a lot about you, but you got a problem. I mean, you seem to be drinking like a lot more than you used to. And what do we say? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm fine. I don't have a problem. We lie to ourselves about our spending. We lie to ourselves about our finances. We lie to ourselves about the health of our marriages. Sadly, and it kills me, many of us lie to ourselves about our self-worth. And we say things like, I'm no good. I'm never going to find happiness. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I'm worthless. Let me stop that lie right in its tracks. God allowed his son to die for you. And if someone is willing to pay that price for you, that means you have infinite value, okay? Now, one of my biggest concerns when it comes to the lies that we tell each other, and I see it all the time, unfortunately, is when we lie to ourselves about our standing with God. And I hear a lot of people, and I'm not saying this is any of you, but I hear a lot of people out in the world say things like, God and I are good. We're good. Well, that's wonderful. How do you know? Well, because I'm a good person. I'm spiritual. I have a good heart. And it concerns me that there are many people who are telling themselves that they and God are good, but the truth is they don't really know Jesus. They have no saving knowledge of him. They have no personal relationship with him. John says something sobering. He says, someone may say, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven. I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, he is a liar. Meaning, there are a lot of people out there in this world who are nominal Christians, Christian in name only. And they think, well, you know, my parents were Christians. They were Catholics. They were Baptists. Dad was a deacon. So, you know, that means I am, right? I mean, I'm not Jewish. I'm not Muslim. So I must be a Christian. I go to church once or twice a year. I believe there's a God. They may even know who Jesus is, but what is clear when you speak to them is that they don't know him personally. There's zero evidence of any spiritual fruit in their lives. There's no life change. They're not living for the Lord. They're living for themselves. And yet they say to themselves, I'm a Christian. God and I are good. And it troubles me deeply. So we lie to others. We lie to God. We lie to ourselves. Let's talk about why. Why do we lie? You ever actually think about that? Like why you lie? I think if we're going to find healing in this area and let Jesus do some work in this area, we got to be honest with ourselves. So why do we lie? When I think about all the lies that we tell, from the little white lies that are just stupid to the big, bad, monster ones that we're living, I think there are a lot of circumstantial reasons as to why we tell those lies. But at the heart of the matter, at the root of the problem, I think the reason we lie is that we just don't completely trust God. And we looked at a lot of scripture today of God commanding us to be truthful, and yet multiple times a day, okay, we seem to believe that our lie will work better than the truth. Even though God says, no. The truth will set you free. Like we believe if I lie, it'll keep me safe. If I tell a lie, it's going to keep me out of trouble. And so what do? We lie about messing up at work. We lie about an addiction that we have. We lie about a mistake we've made. We lie about not seeing that email. We lie about why we're late. But the truth is, the more we lie to keep ourselves safe, the more insecure, right, we actually feel. We think if I lie, they will like me more. But the truth is, you cannot have a real relationship built on lies because the other person doesn't really know you. We think if I lie, I can avoid conflict. But the truth is, sometimes the best relationships are on the other side of working through conflict. So we wrongly think that our lies are better than the truth, God's truth. But ultimately, lies just put us into bondage. We become enslaved to our lies. They take over our lives, and before too long, we can't even keep them straight anymore. See, Satan, our spiritual enemy, wants us to lie. He wants us to believe those lies, and ultimately, he wants us to live those lies because those lies put us into bondage and take us away from God's best. But Jesus wants us to walk in truth. He wants us to experience truth because, as he says, the truth shall set you free. So how do we do that? How do we have that? How can we get set free? How do we find healing? Thankfully, God gives us a plan to heal us. And it's simple, and it is straightforward, but it's not easy. And like many of us avoid it and continue to live these lies because we're almost afraid of doing what's necessary in order to find the healing that we really, really want. So how do we find healing? The first step, according to Scripture, is we're going to confess to God for forgiveness. We're going to confess our lies to God, and then we're going to receive forgiveness from him. And we're going to be honest with him about, you know, that thing we did years ago that we lied to our spouse about. We're going to be honest with him about that shady business deal we got involved in. We're going to be honest with him about that porn addiction you're hiding. We're going to be honest with him about that emotional affair that you've got going on. John tells us that if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. That's a promise. Now, how could we be so sure that God will forgive us? Because, it says, we can trust God to do what is right. Scripture says that it is impossible for God to lie. So if he says he will forgive you, he will forgive you. And when he forgives you, he will cleanse us from all the wrongs we have done, which means it doesn't matter how dark, how scary, how ugly, how pathetic, how horrible it was, if you confess it to God, he is faithful, he is just, he is right, and he will forgive you. That's a promise. He will cleanse you. Scripture says he has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, which means in God's mind, they never happen. He never thinks about him again. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are made new. But that's only half the transformative power of confession. And sadly, that's where many people stop. And that's why many people don't find the freedom and healing that God's word teaches us we can have in this area in our lives. See, the first step is we confess to God and we get forgiveness. The second step is we confess to people for healing. James, who's the brother of Jesus, says this: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We don't just confess to God, we also confess to his people, and that's where the healing begins, which raises a huge question. To whom should you confess? Who are the appropriate people? The answer is, it depends. Because not everyone needs to know everything, all right? And what I have seen is that sometimes in an effort to assuage our own guilt, if you will, we confess something to someone, we leave feeling better. Now that other person is like emotionally destroyed. You feel great. You've unburdened yourself. Now that poor person's life is in shambles. In an effort to heal yourself, you've hurt them. So when deciding to whom you should confess, you really do need to seek the Lord's guidance because confessions can hurt people. For me personally, what I like to do, I like to go to a trusted friend. Someone who can act as what I'll call a lightning rod in your life. It's someone that you can go to and you can unburden yourself and you can confess your mistakes and your failures and your flaws and your sins, and they take it and they ground it like a lightning rod. And they don't judge you, but they love you. But, and this is so important, they speak truth and love into your life. And they help you get back onto that straight and narrow path, which allows you to find healing. Ultimately, we all have a choice, okay? We can choose to live a lie or be set free from the truth. And I know, because I've been there, the truth can seem scary. And we think that our lies are going to keep us safe, but the truth is they're only really keeping us in bondage. God has called us to be different. God has set us apart, Scripture says. He is willing and able to forgive, to set us free from the lies that we're living, and to give us healing. And we may be telling ourselves, it's no big deal, it's no big deal, it's really not a big deal, everybody's doing it, it is what it is, but it's a big deal. And it's time to change. So, what's practical? What do you do with a message like this? If it is your first time here at this church, every single week we put this word on the screen because we want to make sure you can leave on a Sunday and know exactly what to do with what you've heard. So today was all about lying. Everybody lies. We know it. Scripture confirms it. And while all lies are detestable to God, Scripture tells us, I do think it's fair to say that from a human perspective and a practical standpoint, some lies are bigger than others. Okay? Some lies have greater impact on our lives and the lives of other people. And so with this idea of a sliding scale of lies or a spectrum of lies, I want to first talk to the people in this room who are dabbling with what's called them little white lies. Telling somebody they look great when they don't. Okay? Saying you're on your way when in reality you're in your towel on your bed. Okay? Acting like your phone's being weird when in reality you just forgot to text them back or didn't want to. We all tell these lies. We do. And we think it's no big deal. It is what it is. But if you're a Christian, and many of you are, even these lies are a big deal. We're just not being honest. So I'm going to give you a challenge, okay? This week, whenever you're tempted to offer up a lie, shall we say, even a simple white lie, either say nothing or say the truth. See, when you think about the little white lies that we tell, isn't it true that many times we just kind of use them as filler words? Like we don't really know what to say, so we lie. Say nothing. There are so many times in our day-to-day interactions when we literally don't have to say anything, and yet instead we decide to just say some dumb lie. Feel free to stay silent. And when you can't stay silent, try the truth. You know what? I just forgot to text you back. I'm sorry. That's on me. You know what? I'm late. I got distracted. I'm sorry. What's the worst that can happen from telling the truth? They get mad? Okay? They'll be even more mad if they found out you're lying to them. At least now they know you're an honest person. And you can put your head in the pillow that night knowing you've done all you can do. So this week, keep tabs on how many times you're tempted to lie and give truth a try. Let me talk to the other group of you. You might be here today, you might be watching online, maybe you're listening in the future, okay? Because some of you here today are living a lie. And you've been carrying it for a long time. And you don't even know what's true anymore. And it's the worst, isn't it? It's just the worst. The oppression you feel, the guilt, the fear of being found out, the isolation, just eats you up inside. And that lie, I mean, has put some walls up between you and those you love. And that lie has put up walls between you and God. What would it look like to wake up tomorrow and be completely free? What would it look like to wake up and go, I got no secrets. I am completely free. I have been forgiven. Listen, the devil is a liar, and when you lie, you speak his native language. He wants you to lie. He wants you to believe a lie. Ultimately, he wants you to live a lie, but Jesus wants you to experience the truth. He says the truth will set you free. It leads to freedom. Psalm 139, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. In it, David makes a prayer that I would challenge you to make. Okay? He says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Would you be willing to give God access to your heart, to your mind, and to your life? To say, God, okay, Search me. Search me. Make me aware of any lies that I've been telling or believing or living. Point out anything in me that offends you, Lord. Give me the courage to confess it to you. And not just to you, to those that to whom you direct me. Allow me to embrace the forgiveness that you have promised and the healing that I so desire. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is clear. You detest lying. And yet, as human beings, this is something that every single one of us struggles with. It's just part of our DNA. It's an effect of the fall, Lord, and we struggle with it. Some of us at low levels, some of us are just doing nothing but living lies, God. And I pray that today you would challenge us. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would speak into our lives. You would put a spotlight on them, the things that offend you, Lord. You would give us the courage to offer them up to you, to confess what we're doing, God. And I pray that you would bring us healing, freedom. Set us free from our dishonesty, God. Help us to live in a way that honors you. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise. We ask this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen.